This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Improve your health and well-being the natural way with The Medicine Man, next on Plains FM.
Good morning, everybody. This is Mike McCammon, Medicine Man. I'm on Plains FM, and we're going to talk a little bit about something which is close to all of us, which is how our digestive system works leading up to Christmas. Maybe a few pointers that might be quite useful for you. Anyway, after this little ditty, we'll come back to you, and we'll be talking about the bowel. All right, there's nobody there now, is there? Because I said we're going to be talking about the bowel, and there's nobody. I'm not talking to anybody. They've all turned the radio off. Ellie, what do we do? Look, there might be one or two listening now. I know this is not the topic they normally talk about. I have to say, I don't think I've ever been in a conversation around the coffee table or at the pub, not that I've been to the pub for a long time, and we have not actually sat and talked about the bowel. But it's a pretty important topic, and although I've talked about it before, because we're leading up to Christmas, there's a few things that I haven't actually talked about, and that's the effect of junk food, and it's particularly sugar, on the bowel. And the problem that we've got is that when you're eating lots of sugar and junk food and anything with preservatives and stuff, it has this remarkable effect of drying out the colon, because you actually need, you know, you need to pee out all the waste from chemicals, and sugar upsets your metabolism such a lot that it's going to rob you of all those alkalizing minerals and so forth. Anyway, the long and the short of it is you get this cascading effect if you're not drinking at least 2 liters of water a day. And I know very few people, probably less than 3% of my patients, when asked how much water they're drinking, they say, oh, no, I'm having 3 glasses of water a day, but I'm also having 3 cups of coffee. And coffee is an irritant, but it basically needs, it's diuretic. So every cup of coffee you have, you're losing another cup and a half or possibly more cups of water. But the thing is, you don't necessarily know you're thirsty. You may not get any cravings for thirstiness, or you may be thirsty, but you may interpret it as hunger and you eat something instead of it. So the key is, if you're not drinking lots of water, and that can be a problem too, because it's a bit like a flash flood. If you're trying to catch up with water and drinking tons of it and you're forcing yourself to drink water, I don't think that's necessarily the answer either. I think that it's a good idea to have a 750ml pump bottle, for example, but I always use a glass bottle. You hear that? That's glass. Always keep your water in glass, because the trouble with petrochemicals from plastic is that they do leach into the water. And even though it's minute amounts, over time, if you continue eating from plastic, drinking from plastic, you're going to have these little nanoparticles of plastic in your system. And plastic, as we talked about last week or the week before, mimics estrogen. So what the heck has this got to do with the bowel? The bowel needs loads and loads of water. And if it doesn't have enough water, the dryness causes all sorts of problems in the colon. It's supposed to be a nice, wet, warm, and moist environment. And so if you get your tongue and you push it to the edge of your inside of your mouth, it's all the slippery stuff, and that's called mucous membrane. So there's a type of fat or lipid layer that lines the wall of our colon as well. Now, the colon itself is about 1.5 meters long, but the entire digestive system, if it was ironed out, I think it's about the area of about 10 tennis courts. So that's an enormous area, isn't it? The colon itself is about 1 tennis court, but you've also got the upper intestine. So really what you eat is going to make a huge difference to actually how you feel in the long run. So this is not just about pooing, although it is. It's about actually how you feel. And almost invariably, I find that people, A, aren't drinking enough water to lubricate the colon, and they're not having the right fats to lubricate the colon. And there's been such a lot of hoo-ha about how dangerous fat is, and we've already had a talk about how you actually need fat, and of course you need fat lining the gut. to give you that nice slipperiness, and you need water and you need the minerals to hydrate. Anyway, I want to tell you a little story, and this is a little story about the bowel, and it's called The Boss. And I want to explain to you through this little story how important the bowel is to your general health. So even though this may be the most boring conversation that you've ever had, and you may or may not want to bring it up over the dinner table, but anyway, listen to this, because I think it's a beaut. The Boss. Now, once upon a time, the brain, the eyes, the nose, the mouth, the stomach, the legs, and the bowel were arguing as to who should be the boss. Well, the brain said, I do all the thinking, so I should be the boss. Well, the eye said, I keep the vision, so I should be the boss. And the nose said, well, I do all the smelling, so I should be the boss. And the mouth said, I feed the body, so I should be the boss. And the stomach said, well, Shag, I do the digesting, so I should be the boss. And the leg said, well, mate, I take all the weight, so I should be the boss. So the bowel started to speak, though. The bowel wanted to have a say, and they all laughed at him. So the bowel closed up. Well, the brain went foggy. The eyes went cloudy. The nose became all blocked up. The stomach became blocked up. And the legs went wobbly. And so they all agreed that the bowel should be the boss. Okay? Now, it's only a little story because, you know, do your organs talk to each other? Well, actually, they do. They do actually talk to each other. Isn't that interesting? And just to give you a little example about how important the bowel is, and because a lot of people don't actually think about anything that's not even slightly connected to the bowel, supposedly, it's got anything to do with what you eat or whether you're pooing or whether you have a bowel problem. And as I've said before, my teacher, Dr. Bernard Jensen, who died, I think, at 94, he was very keen on teaching our students how important the bowel was in terms of healthcare. So I have a patient that came in this week with a swollen foot that was pretty septic and incredibly painful. His whole leg was starting to swell, but particularly his leg was, he couldn't sleep for the whole previous night. And he was wondering what the heck was going on. And I'm making this very short because there's a number of things involved around this. But in this particular case, upon examination, there was a problem in his colon, in the beginning part of the colon called the cecum. Now, the cecum is where the small intestine, which is alkaline, has a little valve called the ileocecal valve. So you have the end of the small intestine, the ileum, then you have the cecum, and the valve releases the chyme, the digested food material, and this is the waste that comes into the colon, and it becomes an acidic waste. Well, there was a problem there where the acidic waste had been there for so long, it actually distorted and caused inflammation in that area, and through iris analysis, there's diverticuli in that area, which are little bowel pockets. And that particular inflammation caused a nerve to radiate down his leg and caused inflammation, possibly in a pressure area because he's on his feet a lot, and the foot became inflamed. Now, the treatment was not actually necessarily local, or I did give him some Comfrey and told him to put cold packs on it, which is only the sensible thing to do. But the important thing was what was going on in the bowel. And once we cleared out the bowel, as I had the message from him this morning, that he's a lot better. But the steps was to go on a mild food diet. A mild food diet basically is a diet that doesn't have any inflammatory irritants in the diet. In particular, I got him to stay away from all foods containing lectins. And I've talked about lectins before, but the chemicals that basically it is that designed by the plants themselves to protect themselves against insects and us because they don't want to be eaten. And they create this irritating chemical, and they're in some fairly common foods. Now, in a state of health, you don't necessarily have to stay away from too many lectins, but to give you an example of what lectins are, gluten is a lectin, and there's lots of lectins in whole grains, there's lectins in nuts. There's even lectins in eggs, and there's lectins in the nightshade family, and I've talked about this before. But anyway, once we put him on the mild food diet, gave him some herbs, in particular slippery elm is a wonderful herb for soothing the bowel. Within a couple of days, I'd say 3 days now, there's no more pain, or apparently he's 90% better. And that's basically by looking after the colon. And I've also had cases where breast cancer has come from a very similar area in the ascending part of the colon. So in every part of the bowel, there are reflexes, electronic reflexes and nerve impulses that actually relate to almost every other area of the body. So some headaches can be a bowel problem. Arthritis can be a bowel problem. All sorts of things can become bowel problems that radiate and affect other areas of the body. A classic example would be headaches when that particular area of the colon becomes so congested and toxic. It leaks and the liver can't handle with the leakage of toxins, and it ends up, the circulating toxins end up staying in the bloodstream, and they go through the pituitary gland, a little gland in the middle of your head, which picks up that toxic material. It becomes inflamed, it starts to swell, and you get a headache, but it's not actually a headache, it's actually a bowel problem. Now, I don't want to be just oversimplify, but this is what I'm actually doing at the moment. I'm oversimplifying, but the important thing is that at this time leading up to Christmas, there's going to be lots of alcohol, which is dehydrating. There's going to be a lot more sugary foods and possibly chemicals, you know, the colorings and all that, that are going to have quite an impact on both the gut mucosa and the bowel and ultimately your liver. So there's just a few little suggestions leading up to Christmas is make sure that you drink lots of water, but don't just sort of try and drown yourself with water. The best thing is to sip it during the day. With my patients, we have a special mineral powder that they add to the water, which tastes delicious, and that kind of makes them want to drink more water. But that those minerals are actually alkaline minerals, which are fantastic for the liver and help you detox even better. So it's actually a good idea to sip the water slowly and drink water from glass. That's the best thing. I use these things. I get them from the bin in, or you can go to any brewer's supplies and get these lovely brown bottles, and they're 500 mils, I think, or just a little bit over 500 mils. And they've got this cap with a little clip on it so that, you know, when you're screwing a cap off something, if you're in a hurry, you might drop the cap. This thing actually is attached to the bottle, but it's glass. And of course, being brown or amber glass, it keeps the water really nice and fresh. And you fill one of those up three times a day and sip it during the day. And if you're really into, you know, using minerals, give us a call and we'll tell you what the mineral powder is. And it'd be a good idea if you pick up this mineral powder and get your water tasting really delicious, because this particular mineral powder gives you all those alkaline minerals like magnesium and potassium and things like that that the cells love, and it keeps you hydrated. The other thing to do is to have lots of foods that are actually high water content, like cucumbers, you know, all fresh vegetables, basically loads of salads that have high water content. And so that also, you know, you do get water, of course, from the food. But remember, when you're having refined food and the food's with chemicals in it, and if you're drinking coffee, lots of coffee, just the amount of water you're actually drinking, you may actually be losing the same amount. And here's the rub, because you don't necessarily know that you're thirsty, and you don't necessarily look dehydrated, particularly if you're young. Certainly dehydration is common with the older people. But the young people, what happens in your body is your body will create this chemical called histamine just to hold the fluid in your body, because it's really important for your brain, because your brain is about 80% water. So I've talked before about, you know, the importance of water, but it just can't be overstated, you know, that a lot of times there's actually a wonderful book written. It's called You're Not Sick, You're Thirsty. And I see in one of the recent listeners, there's a really good article about the importance of water and rethinking. And they wondered how do people in desert climates, you know, live in, you know, in very hot climates and the very little water, how do they actually manage? Well, they tend to eat things that are high water content and sip it during the day. There's all sorts of other tricks. And, of course, you've got to have the right fat, believe it or not, to absorb the water properly. And that's a complex thing that I'll perhaps go into, if anyone wants me to go into that, at a later date. So in the words of my, or in the teachings of one of my greatest teachers, Dr. Jensen, he's a renowned naturopath. He's regarded as the father of modern naturopathy. He says that disease begins in the colon. And I think there's a huge amount of truth of that in that. And although it's simplifying things, he's treated over 300,000 patients. He's found that the bowel has to be taken care of first before any effective healing takes place. And that's always what I do in my practice, is make sure that your bowel is moving every day. And even if it's moving every day, you've got to have a really good consistency, which is about like a ripe banana. It should actually move two or three times a day. The perfect bowel moves after every meal. And it doesn't mean to say you're losing that meal immediately, because it can take 12 to 24 hours or 12 to 14 hours to move. But the meal before moves upon you eating. And there's a connection between the jaw joint that gives a little message down to the valve in your lower bowel that releases the bowel motion. So a healthy bowel should move at least twice daily. That's basically it. And should look like a ripe banana. Shouldn't be little. There should be little odor. You know, really good poo with really good gut flora does not smell. But even when the bowel moves daily, is not a sign that there isn't some toxic waste present. So, fresh vegetables, raw food, some adequate water, food combining can help. But if you don't do that, you get this toxic sludge building up down there. And this harmful bacteria builds up, creates toxins, which can affect almost any area. A classic example is ear infection, sinus infections, migraine, headaches, fatigue. And there's varying levels of fatigue too that can get really chronic if you haven't looked after your colon. So with a healthy bowel, there's about the intestinal flora, which is just trillions of healthy bacteria down there. There should be, and about at least 80% of them are basically beneficial. And these bacteria create an environment where the minerals are properly absorbed, including B12 and vitamins. Some vitamins are actually synthesized there. So remember this, toxic or dysfunctional areas of your lower bowel have a reflex relationship to corresponding areas of the body. And as I said, sinus problems and headaches are classic, but there's some major ones like liver problems, heart problems, spleen problems, thyroid problems, problems in the pancreas, adrenal problems like adrenal fatigue, ovarian problems, fertility problems, bladder, prostate problems, UTI infections, nasal problems, mental problems, and asthma can all lead back to the problem originating in the lower bowel. That's in your colon. And it's a good idea to really consider this because you could say it's counterintuitive, because if you've got a headache, what the heck have it got to do with the bowel? But you'll be surprised how much of your problems come from the bowel, which of course then leads us to think about what are you eating and what are you drinking and where your mineral composition is. So this is just a little ditty about, you know, about the importance of bowel management. Of course, only because I'm only speaking to one person, because everybody's left now and no one's listening. But just in case there's one person out there that takes this this little talk seriously, it can change your life. And you won't regret sort of making some steps on even just one little piece of information that you got today. If you have a problem, you want to learn some more, you can always email us on office@nzherbal.com, or you can go into our website and have a look through it, because it's quite informative and we're building the website all the time, and there's a lot more to come next year. So it's really great to talk to you today, and that was all about the colon, and the bowel is the boss. So have fun, be nice to other people, and we'll catch up next week. Bye-bye.